For WBAI in New York, I'm Linda Perry. On Thursday, a pro-Palestinian protest encampment at Columbia University was removed. You must have heard about it. The occupation of 50 tents and banners read Liberated Zone and Gaza Solidarity. Students called for a ceasefire, an end to Israel's military action in Gaza, and for the university to divest from companies which they say profit from Israeli apartheid. The protest began Wednesday, April 17th at 4:30 in the morning. It continued through a House Education Congressional Committee hearing, which looked into anti-Semitism at Columbia University later that day. That's where University President Shafiq and trustees were grilled on anti-Semitic incidents on campus. Later, they were criticized for not backing all students and for calling in the NYPD to break up the protests. The president of Columbia University said that out of an abundance of concern for the safety of Columbia's campus, she authorized the New York Police Department to begin clearing the encampment. In a statement, Shafiq said protesters had violated the school's rules and policies against holding unauthorized demonstrations and were unwilling to engage with administrators. You'll remember that Columbia University was the site of so many protests over the decades. Here's Dr. Cornell West. He was at Thursday's protest just outside Columbia University. He was with students from WKCR Radio, Columbia University's radio station.
Hello, this is field correspondent Casey Lamb here with WKCR 89.9 FM. We are here with Dr. Cornell West walking to campus lawns where there's a large demonstration going on. We ran to come meet him. What do you have to say about what's going on here at campus today, Dr. West?
I'm here to be in deep solidarity. My brothers and sisters bearing witness to an indescribable suffering that's taking place with our precious Palestinian brothers and sisters and siblings in Gaza. And Columbia University ought to be shame on itself. Shame to have the president stand in front of the committee and put forward concerns about calls for genocide, but can't say a mumbling word about the genocide that's taking place. Of course, we want a university safe for all students. We want Gaza safe for all Palestinians, too. And we have to be morally consistent. And it's sad that an institution that could teach courses on Western civilization for the last 60 years and talk about humanism, but can't begin to act when it comes to trying to acknowledge genocide and bring it to a close.
That was Cornell West.
What do you have to say, sir, about the use of New York Police Department law enforcement on protesters to disperse the protest?
Well, it just shows that the university is not autonomous. It shows the university is not independent. They're interconnected with the repressive apparatus of the nation state. And in fact, that the fact that they're so willing to bring that kind of force on this campus, it just rips off the veil, and it shows the degree to which the interlocking powers are what they are. Ooh, watch yourself.
We are now walking directly onto the quad, and we see large protests. What are you observing here, Dr. West?
I'm observing a beautiful wave of brothers and sisters bearing witness to a suffering we don't have a language for.
It is 2:54 right now. We are with Cornell West. This is Sarah Casey from WKCR.
Thank you so much, Dr.
Thank
West.
So
we appreciate
much.
You giving us the time for this interview.
Thank you so
this
much.
Is Casey Lamb, field correspondent for WKCR 89.9 FM, with an interview here with Dr. Cornell West and presidential candidate. Thank you.
More than 100 protesters, including the daughter of Congressmember Ilhan Omar, were arrested. Several students said they were suspended from Columbia and Barnard. Here's a post from Students for Justice in Palestine.
Hi, everyone. This is Mariam from Columbia SJP. As of a few minutes ago, I received notice from Barnard administration that I have been suspended for my involvement in the Gaza Solidarity encampment. This follows after months of the Barnard administration specifically targeting me as a member of SJP. I want to make it very clear to Columbia administration and Barnard administration that I refuse to be silenced in my demand for divestment, and I will remain vocally opposed to the genocide in Gaza. And I know that when Palestine is free, Barnard and Columbia will look back at this moment and capitalize on the legacy of their student activists as they always do. And we will not allow for this to be co-opted when that time comes.
Students from universities across the nation came out in solidarity with students at Columbia. This included University of North Carolina Students for Justice in Palestine, the Boston University Students for Justice in Palestine, and the Students for Justice in Palestine at The Ohio State University. They had an emergency protest supporting Gaza's solidarity encampment. Also at Harvard, the Harvard College Palestine Solidarity Committee had a student walkout in solidarity with the steadfast Columbia students. Access to Columbia University has been restricted, even for students and professors who have been prevented from entering certain venues. Press access has also been restricted by the university. But WKCR, Columbia University's radio station run by students, continues to provide extensive coverage of the events on campus. WBAI has been broadcasting their coverage with their knowledge. Here are WKCR student journalists providing an inside look into their academic week in the midst of these ongoing protests.
My name is Sarah Barlin. I am joined here in the studio with Macy Hanzik-Barron, David Gonzalez, and Sawyer Huckabee. We wanted to get on the mics right now to kind of explain our coverage today, as our coverage today has diverged from a lot of the field coverage that we've been doing within the past couple of days. And I just wanted to note that a lot of our coverage today has to do with the anticipating change in campus operations that will happen tomorrow when classes begin again. If our listeners are not particularly aware of campus operations, there are not that many classes held on Columbia's campus on Friday, and the protests began on Wednesday morning at 4:30 a.m. So there were 2 days of protests where there were normally scheduled classes. There was Friday where there were classes on campus, although at a very smaller scale. And then obviously Saturday and Sunday, there have not been classes. Although today, we've noticed that security on campus has become very, very tight. Access to buildings has been decreased. David, do you want to note on the access to buildings today?
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. I guess just to clarify, we do have a small compiled list of some of the buildings that at least our reporters have confirmed have limited or no access, at least for today, Sunday. The list includes Avery, which currently has no access, Urus, which also has no access, Lewison, Philosophy is open only to graduate students, Schermerhorn, Havemeyer, Fairchild, Mudd, was earlier closed, although has purportedly also opened up again. Shapiro, Buell Hall, Kent, Fairweather, and of course, we heard, I believe, early reports that faculty were having some difficulties accessing Lerner Hall. Things especially of note among that list, Avery, of course, the library inside is still purportedly scheduled to be open. The Urus Business Library is now closed today, and the GS offices in Lewison are normally scheduled to be closed today and presumably are also closed with no access to the buildings. Of course, we wanted to confirm this to students and just push out that information since we know, as fellow students, how this might impact all of you out there.
Yes, exactly. So the reason why we are emphasizing the tightness of campus security is due to the fact that tomorrow, Monday, April 22nd, classes will resume. Macy, did you have anything to add?
Yeah, one thing I just wanted to note for those who don't know is this is actually the last week of classes here at Columbia University. So that could mean a couple different things. I would say that a lot of these classes have quite a bit riding on them, including final exam review, last days for essays, etc. So this is not just a normal week of classes at Columbia University, but rather really the last time that students get face-to-face with their professors before finals. And then as we know, though some professors are individually deciding to either cancel classes or put classes on Zoom, the university has made no statement about any changes to the class schedule nor to the final schedule here on campus. So I think that's just important to note for those who are not familiar with Columbia's academic calendar.
Thank you, David and Macy. I have an update from Rachel Smith, our field correspondent right now. Rachel, you are live on air. Go ahead.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I've got two updates to provide here. We are still in the midst of what is being called a club fair for the People's University for a Liberated Palestine, which is essentially the students in the encampment from various other student organizations on campus that have come together in Columbia University, Apartheid Divest, are presenting their student organization and explaining how it relates to the Palestinian cause. Earlier, they had replaced in their chants, they replaced what was previously the word intifada, intifada revolution, with the phrase student. There is only one solution, student revolution, in what seemed like an effort not to use the term intifada. However, they have since reinstituted the term intifada revolution, going back to the chant, intifada revolution. The only solution is intifada revolution. I can also report, of course, live from the West Lawn here, that the New York Police Department drone that was flying over the lawns and had disappeared, then was later replaced by a New York City Police Department helicopter, then both disappeared. The New York City Police Department drone is back, hovering over so that it has a good view, presumably, of the West Lawn. Thank you so much. Back to you.
Meanwhile, the Columbia Spectator reports that over 100 public interest honorees of Columbia's law school, including human rights fellows, public interest fellows, and racial and social justice fellows, published an open letter on Friday in support of pro-Palestinian protesters, students, and student groups. In the letter, the honorees withdrew their consent to display their names, images, and work on Columbia websites, promotional material, or donor appeals, and they declined to participate in events hosted by the university. Other alums are not wanting to attend events in protest. We go now to WKCR Radio. We'll go there live. It's been providing continuous coverage of the protests at Columbia University. They have live updates, which they intersperse with their very fine regular jazz music schedules. They've been doing this since the protests began. I remind you, this is listener-sponsored, locally controlled WBAI in New York, and we go now to WKCR. Thank you.
You are listening to WKCR-FM. I have two field reporters out on the scene who are just going to update us on what is going on. So, Ian, you're on first.
Yeah, thank you, Maria. I just wanted to give a quick update outside. It's 6:22 p.m. at the West Lawn right now, and numbers are pretty much consistent from yesterday. There are a lot more tents as we have been updating throughout the day today. Numbers were in the 20s and 30s range. Besides that, graduation preparation is still going on. On Low Beach, we have blue chairs being set up again for graduation commencement. Besides that, there's some just new, I would say, on clothespins on these hangers here. It seems on inside the West Lawn, there's a sound system going and like a sort of concert going. Not like chants we've seen where it's just someone yelling out the chants, but rather there's like a drum set and again like a sound system going in the middle of the West Lawn. Besides that, there are some signs saying free all Palestinian prisoners, ceasefire now. There's another one that says end the siege on Gaza now, and it says at Palestinian Youth Movement, and then another one says which is kind of relevant because of today. Admitted students enroll in revolution is one of the signs here. And another one here, it says admitted students enroll in revolution. We saw this on maybe some of the social, I think on the social medias for SJP and other groups in the protest. There's a sign that says, welcome to the People's University. And besides that, we have, again, still the cardboard sign from the first day, Columbia Stop Sucking Challenge, ... impossible. That sign is still here on the lawn. I do want to report on that. Besides that, not too much going on. Campus is outside of the West Lawn, not too many people on it. Stacks and stacks of commencement preparation equipment. And that is going to be all for me. I'll take it to Ted outside.
Thank you, Ian. Ted, you are all set.
Thank you, Ian. I want to report on the protest on 115th and Broadway. Again, this is the protest that's outside of Columbia, but interacting with protesters on the inside. It's considerably, I would say, smaller than most other outside protests we've seen outside of campus this week at this hour. Typically the ones that we've seen have been, I would say, bigger in number at this hour. Typically there's been a protest scheduled for sometime around noon, 12:31, something like that. And then there's a second protest scheduled for sometime in the evening. So it will be interesting to see if these outside protesters regroup as is typical around 9 p.m. But as of now, again, reporting this is the smallest this outside protest has been around this time, around 6:25 here all week. They're still going strong, though. The ones that are here continue to chant, bang on some pots and pans and such. They're still interacting with the students on the inside. I'll get back to you in the studio, Maria. Thank you, as always.
Thank you so much, Ted and Ian, who are out doing a quick sweep of campus just to see if there's anything of note going on. At the moment, it seems like it is business as usual, or rather business as usual as it has been over the last couple of days. But one thing, I guess, to note is that things are not dying down. And we know that classes start up again tomorrow. This has been a weekend, and I know that for a lot of us reporting, and I'm sure a lot of people listening, it's felt like a surreal time where time doesn't quite exist normally, but it has been a weekend, and I have a update from Ian right now. Ian or Ted, I guess, did Ian's phone die? Okay, I think Ian's phone died. What he was showing me just now, it seems like there is some kind of exterior. There is some other group of people organizing. Ted, if you can hear me, can you try to get onto the West Lawn and report from there for me? Because Ian's phone died, and I know that it seemed like there was something going on. Anyways, we'll get back to that. All right. But yeah, as I was saying, time has felt quite stagnant over the last couple of days. Maybe that's just speaking for the WKCR reporters who have really been going nonstop. And but it has been a weekend, which means that tomorrow is going to be quite a change of pace for a lot of the student occupiers of the West Lawn, who will have to make the decision of whether they are going to go to class and things like that. But that also means, you know, all of these external protests that have been going on, most likely these people also have day jobs and are working during the week just like anyone else. So we'll really have to see how tomorrow pans out. But as of today, things are not dying down. I have Macy, who's going to read a statement here. Go ahead, Macy.
Yeah, hi, guys. I'm just here to read a statement that we haven't heard quite yet. It's from the African American and African Diaspora Studies Department. And then additionally, the Institute for Research in African American Studies Department. So it's a joint statement, and it's titled Statement in Support of Students. The Department of African American and African Diaspora Studies and the Institute for Research in African American Studies stand with our students who faced arrest, suspension, and police harassment for expressing their continual rights of assembly, constitutional rather, rights of assembly and speech on their campuses. We condemn the reprehensible choice to militarize our shared campus by inviting the intervention of the New York Police Department. This constitutes an unconscionable threat to both free speech and public safety. The university president and leadership must engage student protesters. The NYPD must be immediately uninvited. Suspended students must be reinstated, suspensions revoked, and disciplinary records of sanctioned students must be expunged. And once again, that is from the Columbia University African American and African Diaspora Studies Department, known as AAADS, and the Institute for Research in African American Studies, which is IRAAS, here at Columbia.
Thank you so much, Macy, for that update. Ian, where did Ian go? Okay. We'll try and get Ian back in here to just let us know what it is that we missed when his phone died. But in the interim, we'll play some music. I'm going to change. Oh, sorry. We're going to play some Donald Byrd. Just spotted this CD. We're going to play some Donald Byrd. I'm very excited for this. We are going to play from the beautiful record Electric Byrd. The first track is Estevanico. This is a Donald Byrd original. We have Donald Byrd on the trumpet, Jerry Dodgen on alto sax, soprano sax, and flute, Frank Foster on tenor saxophone and alto clarinet, Lou Tabakin on tenor saxophone and flute, Pepper Adams on baritone saxophone and clarinet, Bill Campbell on trombone, Hermeto Pascal on flute, Duke Pearson on electric piano, Duke Pearson on the electric piano, Wally Richardson on guitar, Ron Carter on bass, Mickey Roker on drums, Erto Moreira on percussion, and Wally Richardson on the guitar. Once again, this is Estevanico, a Donald Byrd original from the record Electric Byrd. Now, bear with me for one moment while I... I hate to interrupt the Donald Byrd, but we have an update in the field from Ian. Ian, you are... Oh, I have to admit him into the Zoom. We're working with very high-tech software here. Ian is connecting to audio and is connected. Ian, go ahead and give us your update. Ian. Technical difficulties. Whenever Ian is ready, I'm sure he will let me know. In the meantime, for those of you who were loving that music, that was Donald Byrd from the record Electric Byrd. The track is entitled Estevanico. It's an 11-minute track. We were all loving it here in the station, so hopefully y'all were enjoying it back at home. Ian, I'm going to ask again if you are ready to go on. Yeah. One second. All right. So we'll get back to the music. Sorry about that for interrupting Donald Byrd, but he's coming right back up. And Ian is now ready. Ian, you're on.
Thank you, Maria. I want to apologize earlier. My phone died whenever I was about to give coverage. I was actually seeing some UTS students march onto the West Lawn with a banner that said, Union Theological Students for a Free Palestine. They're right now on the West Lawn, a lot of them just talking amongst each other. I have nothing else to note about that. It's just that there is a UTS march onto the West Lawns, many of them talking amongst each other. Besides that, I heard a chant that I haven't heard previously in my coverage. We might have brought it up earlier in our 24/7 live coverage, but it was from Palestine to Mexico, the walls have got to go. And that kind of, honestly, it connects to the Mexico flag that is still on the front, the northern part of West Lawn. And besides that, it seems that West Lawn is still pretty lively in terms of the amount of people here. Right now, I see a lot of people distributing food around. And as we saw, the public safety seemingly letting in tents. I think they're also letting in all other sorts of supplies that we've seen distributed amongst West Lawn throughout the past few days. That's all from me, Maria.
Thank you, Ian. I appreciate it. We now have something from Ted. This is an interview with an individual who had an Israeli flag stolen from them yesterday at a protest. Ted, I know you're on and you just did this interview. Would you like to introduce it at all, or should I just go ahead and play it? All right. Well, it seems like Ted is not responding. So in that case, we will go ahead and air this interview. This was done by our field reporter, Ted. Again, interview with a person who had Israeli flag snatched and rock thrown at him. This is the way that our interviewer, Ted, has identified him. So presumably the way that this individual wanted to be identified. All right. With that, we have this interview coming up.
So I'm outside of Columbia University right now. I understand you were last night at one of the counter protests for the demonstration inside, and perhaps had your Israeli flag snatched, is that correct?
It was snatched away from me. They tried burning it. and I tried to get it back, and they forced me and pushed and shoved me into the middle of their circle, this pro-Hamas anti-Israel circle, and no public safety was to be seen. This was inside campus, so NYPD was right across from the gate. They're not allowed to come protect me, and two individuals threw rocks on my face. They hit me right in the face, and I'm yelling, public safety, NYPD, come, help me. They could have done whatever they wanted in that moment, and nobody would have stopped them. And public safety was nowhere to be found. NYPD was nowhere to be found. So thankfully, I was able to get away safely, but it was a riot. Absolute chaos and anarchy on our campus, and there's no one there to protect us.
How do you feel right now to be on campus? Again, we're off campus right now, but do you feel safe to be on campus?
No, I'm not going on campus for the next week. I don't feel safe. Until NYPD is allowed there, that individual would have been arrested immediately if NYPD would have seen that. But they're not allowed on campus. How is that a functioning campus? So I'm not going on campus for another week at least. That should not be the case. The administration should either be allowing the NYPD in. Half the individuals in there are not students, and Columbia knows that because their whole movement brags about the fact that they're sneaking them in. At the least, you have to kick those people who aren't students, you have to kick them off campus. Free speech, okay, I support. You can do your free speech thing. If you're not a student on campus, you have to go. Kick them out. Why are you cowering to the PR nightmare that might happen when you have a responsibility to protect the safety on campus?
We got reports last night that there was an individual wearing a keffiyeh holding a sign that said Al-Qassam's next targets. Do you have any comment on that? Were you out there when that happened, and how does that make you feel?
We were singing songs of peace and love. We were singing One Day by Matisyahu, and we were singing the Hatikvah. And they, whenever you talk to them, no, we're not for violence. We're not for genocide. And then you have these individuals that are calling for Al-Qassam, Hamas, kill them, kill them. Now we are seeing chants, even last night, that said, you know, we are all Hamas, kill all the Jews, remove, get rid of the Zionists on campus. So they're finally showing their true face. And it's abhorrent. If that person's not a student, that person should not be allowed on campus. And to the very least, there should be public safety. If you're not going to let NYPD on campus, then you should have public safety there 24/7. No public safety was there.
What's the general consensus from your community about this event?
The one last night changed everything. It was anarchy and chaos on campus. No safety at all. We tried leaving. The only exit that we can go through is through a anti-Israel protest. They're harassing us. They're yelling at us. Someone got shoved. Our view is you have to enforce the rules. We support free speech and free demonstration, but in a peaceful manner. And when they cross that line, there's no excuse not to bring in the NYPD and enforce the rules.
One last question. Do you have any demands for the university or President Shafiq?
Yes. To the very least, bring in NYPD and remove people who are not students on campus. We knew Nardine, the head of within our lifetime, was on campus. Why, if I sent, show an administrator that she's on campus and you're not allowing people off campus to be on campus, why aren't you removing her? That's number one. Remove people who aren't allowed on campus, remove them from campus. And number two, ideally, you keep NYPD there constantly so that if someone throws a rock at me again, they can arrest them immediately and not run away with impunity.
Thank you. Anything else you'd like to add?
That's it. We're not safe. We were told by our Jewish rabbi on campus, guys, we recommend after last night's events, you should just go home and be safe. This should not be allowed. We're paying tuition to come to campus to learn, and we're not safe at all.
Thank you for your time.
That was an interview conducted by our reporter, Ted Schmiedler. Ted, I see that you're on Zoom. Is there anything that you want to add to that before we head back to the music?
Yeah, Maria, I do just want to independently confirm some of the claims made in that interview. We can confirm that this individual's Israeli flag was snatched. And we also reported last night a few other instances of, not just speech, I would say, things that would be considered assault being used on some pro-Israel protesters. I reported last night on another individual who had fake blood splattered on him as he was walking his dog. Again, it's not last night appears from my interview to be somewhat of a turning point for the pro-Israel community here.
Yeah, thank you. I actually have Ella who's going to comment here. Ella was when there was the pro-Israel counter protest, and she spoke to some of the individuals there. So I have Ella on the line as well.
Yeah, sorry, Maria. I actually just want to give a correction. I didn't actually interview anyone at that moment. I was more observing kind of the interactions that were happening.
Thank you.
I just noticed, obviously, the group of counter-protesters on the sundial with Israeli flags. They were playing music. And I noticed kind of an interaction between one of the pro-Palestine protesters and a pro-Israel protesters sharing words, both kind of, I would say, equally, I don't want to say aggressive, but it definitely was a tense conversation between the two of them. And then I also witnessed someone throw water on one of the pro-Israel counter-protesters. I didn't see exactly who that individual was. They ran away pretty quickly. This was, of course, a very chaotic time that night, so there was a lot of coverage coming from all angles. And, of course, this was shortly before we had our incident at station here. So I think that coverage of those interactions kind of got lost in the shuffle, but definitely I did witness some tense interactions and kind of conflict arising at the protesters.
Thank you so much, Ella, for that clarification. Thank you, Ted, for your interview and that corroboration of certain events. We will now get back to some more music. You are listening to WKCR FM New York and WKCR HD1. The time is 6:47 p.m. Getting back to Donald Byrd from the CD Electric Byrd. This is the middle of track one where we left off in Estevanico. Donald Byrd on trumpet, Jerry Dodgen on alto sax, soprano sax, and flute, Frank Foster on tenor sax and alto clarinet, Lute Bakken, on tenor sax and flute, Pepper Adams on baritone sax and clarinet. We just got an email from officially from public safety. This is the first in the first instance of an official email coming from public safety to the general student body. Bless you, Ian. from the last couple of days. So I have Sawyer ready to read that. Go ahead, Sawyer.
Yes, this is the email. The subject line: enhanced safety measures at the Morningside campus. Dear members of the Columbia community, the safety and security of our Columbia community is paramount for all of us. The gathering of large crowds on campus and around the Morningside perimeter are causing considerable disruption and distress, and I'm writing to outline additional resources to address these issues. The new safety and security measures include increasing patrol strength to reach a total of 35 additional guards and 2 additional supervisors per shift, a total of 111 additional safety personnel. This will more than double the current safety personnel per shift. These resources will be available to the Columbia community to provide additional patrols of campus, more personnel for our campus escort service, and more staff at campus access points. Enhanced perimeter security staffed by additional private security personnel, which followed a complete review of the Morningside campus perimeter. Improved ID checks at campus entry points with additional personnel to ensure the individual entering matches the photo on their CUID. Additional coverage at the Kraft Center during the Passover holiday. Please remember that safety escorts are available to members of the Columbia community at any time of day. To request a safety escort, call 212-854-2797. If there is an emergency on campus, look for a nearby officer or call 212. Current entry points to campus, limited to CUID holders, are at the North College Walk pedestrian gate at Amsterdam and 116th, Wien Gate on 116th between Amsterdam and Morningside Drive, and Earl Hall Gate at 117th and Broadway. All other campus gates are currently closed, including College Walk at Broadway and 116th Street. This access configuration is anticipated to remain in effect until conditions allow. CUID only access to campus with limited campus entry points, a measure already in place, will remain in effect until further notice. We recognize these are extraordinarily challenging circumstances, and these additional security measures are intended to increase the safety and security of the entire Columbia community. Sincerely, Cass Holloway, Chief Operating Officer.
This is Sarah. Thank you, Sawyer, for reading that. I would just like to note, I am a senior at Barnard College. To that note, Barnard students did not receive that email. And to this moment, Barnard students have not received a single email regarding campus safety. And we have not received also a statement from our president regarding any of the events that are going on right now that have been going on since Wednesday morning at 4:30 in the morning. So all of these, the plethora of new safety circumstances are all news to Barnard students as we try to operate campus, as we are not receiving any communication in regards to updated safety circumstances. Thank you.
Yeah, that I'm also a Barnard student, and Sarah, you read my mind in saying that because I was thinking the exact same thing. As soon as Sawyer started sharing that email, I checked my own email and in fact did not receive anything. This is quite common with Barnard students with public safety announcements. It seems as though public safety announcements on their whatever mailing list they use to send to all students, those go to I can't speak to CS or GS, CS being the School of Engineering and GS being the School of General Studies, but it seems that they go out to Columbia students and then are forwarded to Barnard students. This creates some confusion. As of days ago, maybe this was Tanvi, I can't quite remember, the original email that was sent basically exactly a week ago now on Sunday, April 14th, that notified students to the gate or the campus access restrictions or the possible campus access restrictions for the coming week. Now, this was before all of this happened, before the initial occupation of the East Lawn on Wednesday morning, before the arrests that happened for 108 plus students. Before all of this happened on campus, last Sunday, Columbia students received an email notifying them to campus access. But in that email was not sent to Barnard students. In fact, it was not until 9:45 a.m. the next morning, Monday, April 15th, that Barnard students got this email, in which they were informed that starting at 10 a.m. they would have to show their CU ID to enter any part of campus. Keeping in mind that some students live more than 15 minutes away from campus, and if they got that email at 9:45 and were already on their way to campus, they would not be let in if they had forgotten their ID or just didn't bring it that day. So anyways, Barnard students did not receive this email. We have Sawyer to comment.
Yeah, I just want to ask both Sarah and Maria, if you can clarify, there are additional security measures in place at Barnard that have not been announced, including the closure of Futter Fields. Is that correct?
Yeah, Futter Fields. So Futter Fields is the green space on Barnard. Barnard's campus is significantly smaller than Columbia's, and the one green space on our campus has been closed off with barricades. Like I said, we have received not a single update on the security measures that are in place on Barnard's campus. And for those listening, Barnard students, while they while they attend Barnard College, the intimacy between these two schools is so, if you are a Barnard student, you have to report to Columbia campus nearly every day. Just because you are a Barnard student does not mean that you are independent of Columbia University. In fact, we are entirely intertwined. So the safety circumstances on Columbia campus are equally as relevant to Barnard students as they are to Columbia students.
But what Sawyer was mentioning about the restrictions to Barnard's campus, those have not been announced to Barnard students, at least not to my knowledge. Both Futterfield and in the quad, the green space on the quad has been fenced in as well. So none of those have been made, have been explained to Barnard students, and haven't even been announced to Barnard students. With that, unless anyone else, I know, McKenna, you're also a Barnard student, but I don't know if you have anything that you want to say to add to that.
Yeah, I think largely just because attention has kind of been focused on Columbia's campus, I think that all of like the communication we've been receiving has definitely been Columbia-centric, but this doesn't negate the fact that the majority of the students who have been suspended for their participation in demonstrations have been Barnard students. And I think that it's important to remember that Barnard students are kind of navigating both spaces right now, but with very little communication from our own administration and kind of only receiving secondhand feedback on Columbia's
side. Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that. That's a good point to raise.
And for the last hour or so, we have been listening to a simulcast from WKCR at Columbia University. Some updates regarding the situation ongoing, taking place on and around the campus. WBAI New York.